Americans. It's time to grab your kids and gather around the internet for your weekly injection of truth. Prepare to have your world rocked with Steve Duplantis and rock the world!
Okay, today we're going to talk about something that could be considered controversial among Christians. Don't know if you consider it that way or not, but and I want to turn to John 10:22, and that says, "At the time the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon." And I want to make one thing clear, that there's much argument that Hanukkah is not a biblical feast day, because this is what this scripture is talking about, that Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Dedication, which is the Feast of Hanukkah. And I'm going to make it clear that this is in Scripture, because I'm pulling this from Scripture. Number one, it's in the Bible. You can look it up, John 10:22, okay? And then number two, Jesus celebrated it. I hear a lot of arguments that Jesus wasn't in Jerusalem to celebrate Hanukkah. He was in Jerusalem to evangelize. Well, no, Jesus was a Jewish man who did Jewish things within a Jewish culture. And Hanukkah was one of the things that he celebrated and that he did. So he was in Jerusalem celebrating Hanukkah. And might I remind you that Hanukkah is not a Jewish answer to Christmas. This isn't a podcast to bash Christmas, but rather educate you on the significance of Hanukkah. Okay, Christmas. In my opinion, it's the church should not be celebrating Christmas on December 25th. December 25th is a pagan holiday. And this is another teaching, but just to make this clear before we go on, that this is a holiday that celebrates the sun god, and Mithras and all this other pagan stuff. And the Catholic Church has taken it, so-called redeemed it for Christ. Well, that's not the case. It never, you see, we argue about, well, we need to get Christ back in Christmas. And the thing is that Christ was never in Christmas to begin with. His birth was actually during the month of our month of September, some time frame in the fall, sometime during the Feast of Sukkot, which is on the biblical feast days. So that's another teaching, and we'll get to that closer to Christmas, because we will do a teaching on that. But we're talking about Hanukkah right now and the significance of Hanukkah. So, like I said, Hanukkah is not a Jewish answer to Christmas. Hanukkah is a separate. Hanukkah was being celebrated long before Christmas was ever instituted. So, let's look at some traditions of Hanukkah. The menorah, lighting of the menorah, the eight candles on the menorah. The eating of fried foods to represent the oil that God provided for the 8 days that the temple was, after the temple was rededicated, the giving of gifts and playing the dreidel game. Okay, much of the celebration of Hanukkah is caught up in the gift giving. It's almost like what Christmas is now to us today, because originally Christmas may have had a good intentions about Christ, but we now focus on the gifts. And it's kind of the same as Hanukkah, because you have people who look at it as, we have 8 days of gift giving, and as opposed to one day in Christmas. And I'm guilty of saying that too. My family and I have celebrated Hanukkah for the past 3 or 4 years, and it's fun. But when I was reading today and then doing some research on this even more, it really hit home what the significance of this holiday really is. The gift giving differs from Christmas in Hanukkah, whereas that we're supposed to remember in Christmas, we're supposed to remember God's gift to us. But rather in Hanukkah, it's our gifts to others. You follow me? It's about charity. It's not about receiving. It's about giving. And it isn't about the oil, the true meaning of Hanukkah, if we want to look into it. It isn't about the oil, the miracle, the lights. The true meaning about Hanukkah is about deliverance. Hanukkah is not found in the Leviticus 23 passages along with the other appointed festivals. However, it is found in the Apocrypha, the part of the Bible that the Reformers left out as they broke away from the Catholic Church. The Apocrypha does not contradict Scripture, but rather it backs it up. It backs up it in history. History backs it up. The Apocrypha backs up the history of the Bible. Hanukkah means dedication, to dedicate. And Daniel himself prophesied about Hanukkah. In Daniel 8 and 9, out of the one of them came. Now you see, Daniel's kind of weird because he talks about weird stuff with horns growing out of this after, you know, every which way, and it's hard to understand. But this is pretty clear when we get towards the end of this scripture and how history backs this up. Daniel says in 8 and 9, out of one of them came a little horn which grew exceedingly great towards the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. It grew great even to the hosts of heaven, and some of the hosts, and some of the stars it threw down to the ground and trampled them. It became great, even as great as the prince of the host. And the regular burnt offering was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown. And a host will be given over to it, together with a regular burnt offering, because of transgression. And it will throw to it will throw truth to the ground, and it will act and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking. Another holy one said to the one who spoke, "For how long is the vision concerning the regular burnt offering, the transgression that makes desolate, the giving over of the sanctuary to the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 evenings and mornings, and then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state." Now, when the Greeks took over Jerusalem back in the day, their leader was Antiochus Epiphanes. Epiphanes means God. He considered himself God. He wanted people to worship him. Well, he came into Jerusalem and wanted the Jews to start worshiping him, and most of them did, kind of like it is today. In order to keep the peace, we will worship our president or whatever the case is. They did the same thing, but you see, this was an evil, vile man, okay? These are some of the things that he did when he took over Jerusalem. He forbid the teaching of Torah and killed anyone who did so. He killed over 80,000 Jews, women, children, men, mostly women and children. He set up a statue of Zeus in the temple of God. He sacrificed pigs on the altar. He urinated, defecated in the temple, had orgies and drunken parties there. He even went as far as to have Jewish babies that were circumcised hung to death around their mother's neck, and they were forced to walk around with the dead babies hanging by their neck from the mother's neck. That's pretty stinking evil and vile. Okay, this is the kind of person who took over Jerusalem. This is the kind of persecution the Jewish people have gone through since the beginning of time, and they still go through today. They still go through this today, but yet people call the Jewish people vile. But we need to look at history, because history backs all this stuff up. All the history books, the Bible, the Apocrypha, the Josephus, a historian who wrote about this time, backs this stuff up. About the dreidel game, when these are one of the traditional things that we still do today during Hanukkah, the dreidel game was a decoy, because when they were trying to learn Torah and the Jewish people would see soldiers coming, they would take the dreidel out and start playing and pretend like they were playing this game the whole time. So this is the significance of this game. They did this so they wouldn't get caught, but a lot of them did. And as we read the Apocrypha and about the taking over the temple and the cleansing of it, the rededication, we read about Judah Maccabees. He's the as you may say, forefather of this revolt, the Maccabean revolt, if you want to say. Daniel prophesied about him also in chapter 11 and verse 32. He said, he shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God stand firm and take action. So he's talking about Judah Maccabees and the Maccabeans. They knew God and they stood firm and they took action to do something about it because they saw the desecration of the temple and they wanted it to stop. So prior to them taking over, as Antiochus was trying to get all the Jewish people on board, but he was killing them anyway. But he was trying to get them to worship him. He approached a man called Mattathias, who was a high priest in the town of Modin, which was probably about 20 miles or so from Jerusalem. And each town had their own high priest, and he was like the leader. So think of it, and Antiochus's people went to him and tried to convince him to convince the Jewish people to worship Antiochus. Well, they... It's kind of like imagine your hometown, and I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Red Dawn, but when the remake and the older movie, it's about the invasion of the communists into America, and what the leaders did, the military leaders would approach the leaders of the town and get the leaders of the town to try to convince the people to make a transition, a smooth transition. This is a strategy used by people who are taking over countries and stuff like that. This is what Antiochus, his strategy was to get Mattathias because he was very influential on these people. So he approached them and tried to get the Jewish people to assimilate to Hellenistic ways of the Greeks. And what better way to convince the people if their leader will change his ways? And Mattathias refused, and this is what he said. Even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to do his commandments, departing each one from the religion of his fathers, yet I and my sons and my brothers will live by the covenant of our fathers. We will not obey the king's word by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left. So he was making a stand that we're not going to the right, we're not going to the left, we're not going to be conservative, we're not going to be liberal, we're going to go straight forward and follow God and God's word. And this is what he did. And there was a remnant back then that would not deny God. And they prevailed even though the odds were against them. You see, it's kind of like the Gideon with the small army. This is a handful of people that were part of the Maccabean revolt. And Judas Maccabee, he rose up, and they overtook Antiochus and regained control of Jerusalem and the temple. Then we know about the miracle of the lights with the menorah, you know, that they only found a small vial of oil that they put in the menorah, and the lights burned for 8 days. And that was the miracle of the lights. And that's the rest of the story. So had the Jews assimilated to the Hellenistic ways in less than four generations, there would have been no more Jews. We would have no Jews today had that happened back then. And if that had happened, that means there would have been no Hanukkah. If there was no Hanukkah, there'd be no remnant. And if there's no remnant, there'd be no Israel. And if there's no Israel, there'd be no king. And if there'd be no king, there'd be no deliverer. And if there was no deliverer, there would be no Christmas. So neither would we be celebrating Hanukkah nor Christmas, because had the Jews assimilated, Jesus would have never came. And that's a scary thought, okay? But thank God for the remnant, okay? Jeremiah 31 and 35 says, "Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for the light of day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that it waves roar, and the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever." Now, the last I looked, the fixed order of things, the sun rose this morning, the moon set, the stars are still out there shining brightly. So therefore, since though that fixed order is still intact, Israel has not ceased from being a nation before God. So had the Jews assimilated, then God would be called a liar. He would be a liar. But that never happened, you see. So here we have not a biblical truth, but it's a festival that God never instituted, but still he was involved in his miracles and his deliverance of the Jewish people is seen in this story. So God, like I said, God would be a liar had these things not happened, but it did happen. So Hanukkah is not about the lights. It's not about the gift giving. It's not about the jelly donuts, man, because they're jelly donuts. It's not about latkes. Latkes are awesome. But that's not what it's about. Hanukkah is about faith. Hanukkah is about dedication. We have faith in God through Hanukkah, in dedication about how, well, the faith part is Mattathias and the Maccabees had faith in God that he would prevail in this. And their loyalty to God, the faith, that's another thing that Hanukkah is about, is loyalty, that had loyalty to God. They had zealousness for God. So Hanukkah is about faith, it's about dedication, it's about zealousness, it's about loyalty, and above all, it's about the messianic hope, the coming Messiah, the light of the world. John 8 and 12, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 9 and 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So that's John 8 and then John 9 that says that. And then the beginning of John, let me find it here. John 10, my opening scripture. John 10, 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. Now, we look in context that while Jesus was saying all of this, this festival was going on. So Jesus actually revealed himself as the light of the world during the Festival of Lights, during the Feast of Dedication that he was in Jerusalem celebrating. And I have here before me a Catholic Bible that I grew up with. There's some cool pictures in here. And I used to, this was kind of like my teacher. I believe the Holy Spirit guided me through a lot of this when I was a kid, because we went to Mass and everything like that. But as I looked at these pictures, the Bible came alive to me. The stories came alive. And this Bible includes the Apocrypha. And I'm going to read throughout the Maccabees, First Maccabees, and what they did. I'm going to start in, I believe this is chapter 4, verse 36. Then Judas and his brethren said, this is Judas Maccabees, not Judas Iscariot. This is long before. Then Judas and his brethren. Now, mind you, before I go on any further, the prophecies that Daniel gave about Hanukkah was for like 400 years before that any of this ever happened. And this could be looked up in history, because about the 2300 days, it was exactly 2300 days that Antiochus was in control of Jerusalem. Look in history books and find that out for yourself, that they prophesied it, that God himself knew that this was going to happen, and he had Daniel prophesy it. So to tell me that this isn't a biblical holiday is completely preposterous. Okay, because it was set into motion by God over 400 years before the occurrence. So let me read what happened, okay? Then Judas and his brethren said, "Behold, our enemies are discomfited. Let us go up now to cleanse the holy places and to repair them." And all the army assembled together, and they went up to Mount Zion. And they saw the sanctuary desolate, and the altar profaned, and the gates burned, and the shrubs growing up in the courts as in a forest or on the mountains, and the chambers joining to the temple thrown down. And they rent their garments, and they made great lamentations, and they put ashes on their heads, and they fell down to the ground on their faces, and they sounded with the trumpets of alarms, and they cried towards heaven. Then Judas appointed men to fight against them that were in the castle, till they had cleansed the holy places. And he chose priests without blemish, who will set up upon the law of God. And they cleansed the holy places, and took away the stones that had defiled into a clean, unclean place. And he considered about the altar of the holocaust that had been profaned, and what he should do with them. And a good counsel came unto their minds to pull it down, lest it should be a reproach to them, because the Gentiles had defiled it. So they threw it down, and they laid up on the stones in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place, till there should be come a prophet and give an answering concerning them. And they took whole stones according to the law, built a new altar according to the former, and they built up the holy places and the things that were within the temple, and they sanctified the temple and the courts. And they made new holy vessels and brought in candlestick and the altar of incense and the table into the temple. And then they put incense upon the altar and lighted up the lamps that were upon the candlestick, and they gave light in the temple. And they set up the loaves upon the table and hung up the veils and finished all the works they had begun to make. And they arose before the morning on the 25th day of month in the 148th year. And they offered sacrifice according to the law upon the new altar of the holocaust which they had made, according to the time and according to the day wherein the heathens had defiled it. And the same was dedicated anew with canticles and harps and lutes and cymbals. And all the people fell upon their faces and adored and blessed up to heaven him that prospered them. And they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days, and they offered holocaust with joy and sacrifice of salvation and praise. And they adorned the front of the temple with the crowns and gold and escutcheons, and they renewed the gates and the chambers and hanged upon the doors. And there was exceedingly great joy among the people. The reproach of the Gentiles was turned away, and Judas and his brethren and all the church of Israel. Now, I find it interesting that all the church of Israel, they say you never find the word church other than in the New Testament. Well, if they look in here, you'd find the word church. That means community. That's all church means here. That's what church is supposed to mean, community. That day of the dedication of the altar should be kept in its season from year to year for 8 days. They built up also at that time Mount Zion with high walls and strong towers around about, lest the Gentiles should at any time come and tread it down as they did before. And he placed a garrison there to keep it, and he fortified it to secure Bethsura, and the people might have a defense against the Greeks. So they built strong towers around it to protect the temple. Now, quite a few weeks ago, I preached on the Temple of Solomon and how we're supposed to protect the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And I wear this Under Armour shirt that has this thing put in it. You flip it up on the other side. I'm looking at it right now. It says, "I will protect this house." It made a vow that I will protect this house. I will protect the temple of this Holy Spirit from any compromise that may come in, any thing that would go against the holiness of God. And I have to look at this stuff. Okay, the Feast of Hanukkah is a biblical feast day. All and everything about this feast day points to our Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay? It all points to him, the light of the world. He even introduced himself as the light of the world during this time frame. So if we can't see Jesus in this, more so than what we see it in the foolishness we call Christmas today. There's this big argument that people, you know, let's put Christ back in Christmas. And like I said earlier, Christ was never in Christmas. Never. Never will he be, because that type of compromise, in my opinion, profanes the holiness of God and what he demands of us. So we need to look at the holiness, the significance of this feast day. I invite you to do some research on it. Hanukkah starts this Wednesday night coming up. This is 3 days away. Sundown Wednesday night, and it goes for 8 days. And light a candle each day. And each day that we remember the miracle of God. Because Hanukkah is not about the lights. It's not about the donuts. It's not about the latkes. It's about the deliverance, the holiness of God, that God took care of his people once again, as he always did. And thank God there's still a remnant around today, as Jeremiah says, because if there's not a remnant, then things can't play out. So there is a remnant out today. And thank God we are a part of that remnant as we recognize this type of stuff. There are three stories of deliverance in the Bible. The deliverance of the Jews from Egypt, the deliverance from the Jews in the book of Esther, and we celebrate that. Well, the first one is celebrated with Passover, of course. The second one is the Feast of Purim. The third is this one here, Hanukkah, the deliverance that God brought back into his promises to the Jewish people. So I encourage you to look into this and to see the significance of our Messiah in this feast day and how he fulfills it. And he is our festival of lights. He is our celebration. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he turn his countenance towards you. May he be gracious unto you. May he grant you peace. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, y'all keep rocking the world.